Hello there, bright but very sensitive podcast listeners, and welcome back to another episode. I have decided that this podcast is just my place to be unhinged, right? And you might be like, Megan, we already knew this. Like, you've already been a little unhinged. But I just need a space where I'm allowed to just talk and be witnessed and be myself. And I feel like this is it. I feel like, based on the really kind, amazing emails that you all have been sending me, that this podcast resonates in a way that a lot of podcasts don't, because it is so honest. Like, I am really, really not putting on any kind of show for this podcast. Like, this podcast is really just me talking, which I know a lot of podcasts are like, but I feel like a lot of mental health podcasts feel a lot of pressure to be very informational, which I know I have felt that pressure in the past and still do in a lot of ways on different platforms. But I just feel like for this private podcast, it is allowed to just be what it is, which is me rambling about my mental health. And I feel like that can be really helpful to people, because sometimes we have all of the quote information, but what we don't have is that like relatable feeling, that feeling of like, yeah, but what is it really like though? And I hope that this podcast kind of gives you some insights into what this stuff is really like. So anyway, with all of that preamble, basically, what I wanted to tell you guys about was a situation that I had with my current therapist and with a peer support worker and all this stuff. There's no tea. It's fine. Like, nothing bad happened, which is great. I just want to set the expectation, set the tone. This is not a tea spilling episode. It is more just new developments, I guess, especially when it comes to dissociation and me. So I was talking with my therapist about all of my various parts and all of that stuff, which she's really comfortable talking about. But I kind of pushed her and I said, hey, do you think it would be worthwhile to like really assess and get diagnosed with OSDD, which is other specified dissociative disorder? And she said no. She said that DID, dissociative identity disorder, is for people with, you know, more impairment than I have, which is fair, and just different experiences from the ones that I have, to be honest. And she said the rest of us, like most people, fall somewhere on the OSDD spectrum. So therefore, it wouldn't be that helpful for me to seek out a diagnosis, which I'm still having trouble following the logic of. Like, if most people have OSDD in this person's mind, which that is actually a very hotly contested subject in the world of dissociation. Some people, especially a lot of indigenous cultures, not all, but, you know, a lot that I've heard about, do believe that everyone is a system. It's just that some of us are more aware and some of our parts are further apart than others, you know? And so I'm not here to say that's not true. I just found her response to be a little unhelpful for me personally, because it felt a little bit like, oh, well, you don't need that diagnosis because you're mostly actually fine, which again is not what she said. So I'm not trying to put words in her mouth, but that is how it felt. That's how it was received. And that's something I've been working on for a long time. Like, my husband was like, oh yeah, you're gonna have to find another therapist. And I was like, I don't know, I could keep working with her. And he's like, no, she gave you the ick, it's done. And I'm like, you're not wrong. it sucks because it feels so unfair to her, because like, she was very kind. But yeah, that's an ick of mine. Anytime I feel invalidated, especially around a diagnosis, I really can't keep working with that person anymore unless they seriously walk back what they said. And I don't think, I mean, I'm going to meet with her and stuff, so we'll see, but I doubt it. Anyway, so I'm likely in the business of finding a new therapist again, which is fine because this therapist is amazing. I would recommend her a million times over for a lot of things, but I will say dissociation is, and she would say too, dissociation is not her area of expertise. Her area of expertise is people who grew up under coercive control, whether that's through religion or individuals, and dealing with complex trauma. And she's been incredible for that, you know? This might be where our paths diverge. Anyway, so following that meeting with my therapist, I was feeling very triggered and upset. And again, I recognize that that is largely not her fault. But regardless, that's how I was feeling, right? And so I went to this website that I've known about for a while called the Liberatory Wellness Network, which I will link in the show notes because it's incredible. And if you're looking for a coach, a therapist, a peer support worker, anybody, there are so many different types of people on there. I am considering putting my information on there. Anyway, so I went to the Liberatory Wellness Network and I found someone who specializes in plurality in OSDD. Plurality is basically when you, you know, are more than one consciousness in one body type thing. So it could be DID, OSDD, or other forms of plurality. So this person, they specialize in that stuff. And they're a therapist, but they also offer peer support sessions. Because for therapy, they're only available in like one state and it wasn't my state. And so I was like, well, crap. But they offer peer support for anybody. And I was like, oh, that's great. So I scheduled a peer support session. And oh my goodness, she was amazing. They were so kind and friendly and really let me lead the session, which felt like weird but good. And yeah, so we talked and she seemed very surprised that I had not yet been at least assessed for OSDD, because of, you know, having such a strong history and current experience of dissociation. So that was kind of funny. She was like, yeah, let's give you the DES2, which the DES2 is Dissociative Experiences Scale. It's just a self-assessment that you can take. It is available online, so I'll go ahead and drop that in the show notes as well in case you want to take it. I believe there should be a way to score it as well, but anyway. So we took that together. I took it and she helped me go over my answers and stuff. And my final score was well within the range for both CPTSD and OSDD, neither of which I've been diagnosed with. Which I think that's something that's helping me with my health anxiety around all of this, because there's a big part of me that's like, you are being so stupid right now. Like, you do not have another diagnosis. You are fucking fine. Like, stop. Like, there's a huge part of me that feels that way. But to be fair to me, we've known since like 2019, 2020, maybe even before that, that trauma is a big part of my mental health issues. Like, I have known that, and all of my providers have known that. And yet I've never received a trauma-related diagnosis, even though I would argue that trauma is what gets in the way of my life more than any other diagnosis. And that's very interesting and suspicious and makes me think maybe it's not that out there to be looking at a trauma-based diagnosis. So I met with the peer support worker. She was great. Very surprised I had not been assessed or diagnosed yet. At one point they were like, I mean, yeah, that's classic system shit. And I was like, yeah, I know. So that was kind of funny. I kind of just walked her through all of the things I've been noticing, like, hey, I do this and I do that. And oh, like, we kind of do this. And they were like, yeah, that sounds like a system, especially my experience with depression. She was like, oh, I am, because she's not a system. She just specializes in this stuff. They experience a lot of dissociation, they just aren't a system, and which is means they like don't have OSDD or DID or any other form of plurality. And I was describing my experiences with depression. You know, I was like, oh, it's really fast and really intense. It feels like getting punched in the face, but like also once it's over, and like I can't really connect with it again once it's gone. And she was like, yeah, I'm a little jealous. Like, my depression lasts for fucking ever. And I'm like, no, mine just doesn't work that way. It's very hit or miss, touch and go, like very intense when it's there and just like disappears all of a sudden. And like, that is not typical depression, you know? For a while I was like, maybe it's just the way my meds are helping me, but everyone else I've talked to who's on antidepressants, like, does not have this experience. So like, anyway, it's just interesting. So talk to the peer support worker. And also something great that she was able to provide me with is a new website, or new to me, full of therapists and coaches. So I already mentioned the Liberatory Wellness Network, but I haven't found any DID specialists or OSDD specialist therapists on there yet. But this peer support worker recommended inclusivetherapists.com. I'll put that link in the show notes as well. And it looks like I might be able to find somebody, which would be so great. So I am looking. I am hopeful. I don't know if I'm going to find anyone who takes my insurance, but honestly, I don't even like, at this point, I don't even care. Like, I just want, part of me wants someone who doesn't take my insurance, because then that means we don't have to settle on a diagnosis in the first session, which is like such fucking bullshit that that's a thing. But anyway, I digress. So yeah, that's what's been going on with me. That's where I'm at with this whole OSDD journey. And what's really funny is, like, I am so used to processing my feelings through like Instagram posts and short form videos and social media that, like, I am so tempted to make content about this. Like, I'm right here making content about it right now. Although, like I said, I feel like this is different. I feel like there's only a dedicated, like, there's just a dedicated group of people who listen to this podcast and who get it and who are very like accepting. Whereas on socials, anybody can see it. And like, that opens me up to a whole world of like potential criticism and harm that I am not ready to risk. But I'm so used to processing my feelings through making Instagram posts about it. Oh my goodness, there's a woodpecker outside. That is so freaking, oh, my son would be so upset that he's missing this. I wonder if I can get a picture. Okay, hold on. Total side note. My deepest apologies. But like, it's just this beautiful woodpecker. Like, it's gorgeous. It has the big red plume on top of its head and the giant bill, beak, whatever. Oh my gosh. Okay. Focusing, Megan. Clearly, I also still have ADHD. That is still like an accurate diagnosis. Although I would argue that not being enthralled and thrilled by seeing something beautiful is like, that's the real problem. I don't think it's a problem that I am easily distracted by things that are very cool. Anyway, where the hell was I? So I'm so used to processing my feelings on social media that I've been like making Instagram posts about it and then just like showing my close friends like, hey, here's some stuff about my brain. And they're like, oh, thank you for sharing. Like, they're so nice about it. Anyway, so that's what I've been up to. I don't really have a whole lot else to say, so I'm not going to drag this on or anything, but thank you all so much for listening. And if you have any questions about OSDD, about dissociation, please feel free to email me. My email is Megan, M-E-G-A-N, at theneurocuriosityclub.com. And I will put that in the show notes as always as well. So yeah, thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you all next time.